This is CliffCentral.com. The Unview, the Thin, the Rich, and the Fabulous on CliffCentral.com.
And this is The Unview, and it's a good morning to you. With kisses from coast to coast, from sea to sea. I feel like I'm about to do the US anthem. From sea to shining sea.
And if you actually kissed everyone from coast to coast, you'd probably get sea. But hepatitis.
Oh, much worse.
Yeah, much worse.
Ebola.
Yeah.
Seasons have changed.
Yes.
Nathan Rose in studio, my very special Coco.
Your Coco.
My little Coco.
I do love that nickname.
I know you're my Coco.
You know, I've mentioned before that I have become far more fabulous since the show began.
I know you have.
Yes.
At least you shaved and you're looking good.
Started matching my shoes to my shirts.
I like. You've lost a bit of weight.
Well, I don't know. Let's not count our chickens.
Love it before career.
Until
well,
they
well,
have.
A lot at spring. So a lot of chickens are
being made.
Yeah, chickens are actually hatching all year round. That's the way it works. Otherwise, you have the chickens in the winter.
What happens when you force two creatures into a tiny little cage?
I tell you.
Sorry, I always take things to a dark place.
Always. This is The Unview, The Thin, The Rich, and The Fabulous. My name is Alan Ford. It's good to be with you. As we do every single Thursday, a show filled with entertainment, filled with very interesting things. Special guest joining us in a moment, Carmen Pretorius.
Hello.
I said joining in a moment. We didn't invite you to join yet.
Sorry, that's why your mic was off.
You got to be invited to, like, joining us in a moment.
Oh, okay. I took my moment.
You took your moment right there.
Yeah.
Okay, so Carmen Pretorius is... Carmen plays Tiffany in Isidingo.
Yes.
Carmen is touring The Sound of Music.
Yeah,
Carmen's been in Mamma Mia, High School Musical, Jersey Boys, and the list goes on and on.
Tick.
You can sing, you can dance, you can perform, you're clever.
She's smoking, you may not have noticed that.
Smoking hot, yes.
Because you're not into the ladies.
But she's smoking hot, smoking hot.
Thank you.
Beautiful. And we're going to chat to Carmen, of course. And then, of course, we're going to talk, you know, that Splash, the circus.
Yes, a few disasters, I heard.
We'll talk about it, but they've sorted it all out.
And that's not the only disaster. I mean, sure, there's always disasters in the theatre world, but there are also natural disasters all over the world at the moment.
Like hurricanes.
Hurricanes named after old people. Irma, Harvey, I don't know, a whole bunch of elderly people from the Honeydew home.
What? Trump, did you see Trump's speech?
What was it?
Like, you know, we know it's going to cause damage, but America will, I mean, we know.
Oh, he said Texas can handle anything, didn't he?
Yeah, we can. Weird person.
Oh, that guy.
Weird human being. And then we'll also chat to the curator and founder of the Visa Street Food Festival happening at Mabinang this weekend.
Do you need a visa to go?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But we'll find out. That's the way it goes. The show is full. It's packed and lots of entertainment. But of course, it's spring. So I thought, for love, just for love, Nathan, we should do something special. Because if you're feeling that, besides the hay fever and your allergens killing you, if you're feeling... It's spring.
Yeah, there's a certain vibe in the air.
In common, there's a vibe.
Yeah. And lots of white people. Very white, pale people.
Oh, they just meant white people.
No.
They're actually a minority in this country.
They are.
See, there's a reason common, and the reason is, it is spring because
birds do it,
bees do it,
even educated fleas do it.
Let's do it. Let's fall in love.
In Spain, the best of us seats do it. Lithuanians, and let's do it. So let's do it.
Let's fall in love.
Did you know the Dutch in old Amsterdam do it? Not to mention the Finns. Folks in Siam do it. Think of those Siamese twins. Some Argentines without means do it. People say in Boston beans do it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love.
Woo!
Wow, Carmen did some scatting there. That was nice.
Let's fall in love.
see, most people we are, they won't sing before
I know.
12 Carmen o'clock.
Just boom. Pow.
And she's like, pow. I've been singing since 6 a.m.
Hey, I woke up like this. I roll out of bed and here I am.
Exactly. You roll
Don't
out
you love bed. The energy?
I love the energy. That is what I can't sing in the morning because I've been ready. Then I'm in the shower, warm up and prepare your day.
I've had my coffee, but look, I mean, I must say it is 9:09.
Yes.
It's like maybe 9 is a good time to start. Sometimes, start you know, we have to start at 5 or 6.
Yep, correct.
To sing.
Correct.
And then that's a bit of a chedunta.
And you have to be in studio sometimes. But here's the interesting thing. When you're doing Isidingo and you're playing Tiffany.
Yes.
Call time sometimes is 5 o'clock in the morning.
Totally.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which means you're up at 4.
Yes.
And it's not, I mean, you might not be singing, but your voice has to be prepped. You can't be croaky and talking like this.
Yeah.
Parker Hines.
Luckily.
A girl, I mean, no, you can't do that.
Luckily, you know, you're up at 4, okay. And then by the time you start actually shooting, working, it's about 7:30.
Yeah.
So you've had a good sort of 3.5 hours, maybe some, you know, 4 coffees, because in my case, about 3.5, 4 coffees, if I'm lucky. And then you start, you know. Yeah, do your tongue twirl?
Do you have to do
New York?
I do. Unique New York.
The arsonist has oddly shaped feet.
The fish are following us. The fish.
Whose ghost walks past murmuring, swaying trees?
So
the Bishop wore a butler's cap to the bat mitzvah.
That's a great one.
If you've just joined us, you understand the process that people don't understand. Like. Okay, it sounds terrible, but let me do it. Like studio mics before you get on air.
Yeah. Okay, nice.
Now you're not coughing, and all you just got clearing your throat.
You've
got to
get the lurgy out.
And I do it all the time. People look at me on radio and go like, "What happened?" Like, okay, and then of course there's.
It's like when I sit in the car and do my warm up and go, no, 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 no.
Yes.
And people are looking at me going,
what the hell?
And the window washers just steer clear of your car.
Yes,
they're like,
the
oh,
case.
Crazy lady.
Yeah. But I'm so happy that we're doing this because you can't understand. Because, okay, so let's say, I mean, even if you're not singing, if you like have to sing for a family function, you walk around wherever going,
yes. Yes.
I mean, it sounds
and you look
absurd, and you look insane.
I know, one looks incredibly comical.
And then the next thing happens, which I think is the best thing, because then all of a sudden you appear.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you're singing at a
bat mitzvah.
A bat mitzvah, a funeral, whatever it is, or you're singing at a functional. I mean, listen, I'm not a professional singer, but I mean, I've done it before.
Yeah,
well. And you guys will understand this. And all of a sudden, you're on that stage, and you're beautiful, and you get and people don't understand behind the scenes. You're going.
And it's taken a good 2 hours to get yourself there, plus the hair and makeup.
See, I have to be honest. I don't do any of that.
Nothing.
Yeah, because. I like
the
my
rock
voice
stars
to kind,
don't do that.
No, I like to have that kind of brokenness in my voice. I often have a milkshake because it gives you a little bit of extra loogie. And then you got this nice, you know what I'm talking about.
I love that. And I know, I totally get that. If I was a rock singer or a pop singer, which I hope to be one day when I grow up, I would totally just have lots of chocolate and all that jazz.
Well, that's phlegm.
Way to go.
But,
yeah, phlegm is
I mean,
good.
You know, when you're singing...
Where do you think vibrato comes from?
No, Miserable. You can't be like... Oh,
no, correct. 100%. When you have to sing and doing certain operas, we were actually, literally, I'm talking about the 80s, jockeys, boys, those days. You literally did have egg whites. You ate an egg. You literally did that.
Apple cider vinegar.
Seriously, those are the things that you did.
Ew.
I still do.
Honey and lemon. I know,
I did the Clifmas carols with Timothy. Malloy.
Yes, I loved Tim.
So Tim and I did this thing, and I'm sitting there, and Timmy's just... There's a new vocal cord spray. Like,
yeah.
It kind of like numbs them, but just to relax.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so there's some stuff. And we're using that stuff. And then I've got an egg and I'm clonking an egg down, a raw egg.
I need to phone him and ask him what that is. When I went to Los Angeles for the World Champs of Performing Arts when I was 16. Oh, my goodness. And then there was that spray there. So I'm thinking maybe
spray.
It's only come to South Africa.
No, that's the spray. That's the
wow. You guys realize that you are the Lance Armstrong of the singing community, huh?
What you committed?
I'll take
yeah.
that.
Yeah, you guys are doping in your caravan.
Yeah, we are. It's like, what can we do?
Again, but okay, so that's what that was. It's just obviously, it's yeah. either just come to South Africa or it's Timothy's secret, because Timothy's brilliant.
He's insane.
Or Timothy travels.
He's
Traddle.
I wiggle and I waggle then.
That's Traddle, oh. right? Oh, Timothy Traddle.
Yeah. Sorry, different Traddle. Different Timothy.
Timothy Malloy. Please, Nathan. Silly joke. Silly. Silly. Sorry. Yeah. Silly. Nathan Rose in studio. My special guest, Carmen Pretorius. Now, Carmen, Sound of Musical, we're touring.
Yeah, bo.
Is he doing it? We're still on.
Well, I haven't been killed yet. There we go. You know, I haven't been killed yet. So.
So you just went on a holiday?
Well, Tiffany, my character, is still, as long as you're still alive, it's a good thing, you know.
Did they, here's the question. Did they write you out?
Yes, they write. If they decide that the storyline, because look, I mean, like anything, they've got big marketing teams and research teams, correct. And they decide what the public want.
But they haven't killed you.
No, they basically wrote me out. So I have died a pseudo death. But I am.
But you can come back.
I can come back. I mean, hey, it's soap opera. I could probably even be dead and come back, like Marlena. So you never know.
I was written out of Isidingo once.
you basically both have been written out of.
You Isidingo. Can't have like. I mean, to be honest, you can't be precious. It's easier said than done. But there is a part of you that goes, whoa, like, did I do something? Did I say something wrong to someone? But look, I was going to be there for one episode, and then I ended up staying for a year. So,
well, that's divine.
I was grateful.
So it shows you that, yeah. that obviously they... which tells you the writers are writing quite...
It's quite ruthless, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, they write on the fly.
On so the Nathan, fly. That's exactly how they do it.
Yes.
Just casually, you're a rock star muso, animator. What else are you? Like, been written out of Isidingo? Like, come
yes,
on.
That's one of my favorite things to put on my CV, actually. I was written out of Isidingo once.
And we have shared a bed together. It's been quite interesting.
Tisk,
and we actually had little spoons of...
Let's clarify. Oh, it was a room, not a bed. He had his own bed.
Yes, but we were next to each other.
Hello, how you mean? He's just
we basically slept together.
I think Alan likes to put that on my CV.
Yes, I do.
I think it seems like it.
I just like the fact that Nathan, I think, may be bordering the understanding of homosexuality.
Nathan?
I'm not.
I never said you practiced.
I'm not even close to the edge. I haven't even gone up the lift to jump off.
It's okay.
It's fine. I'm. I will live in that closet forever. Yeah. I'm fine with
it. Defensive? I mean, when in doubt, be aggressive.
No. All I'm saying is my closet has a whole world in it that is basically Narnia, where there are little fawns. Which is short.
That's so not gay.
Fornication. It's not gay. C.S. Lewis wrote it. He wasn't gay.
That could be politically incorrect.
But the point of the matter is, since Nathan has met me properly.
Was this before or after?
No. In between room. All that. We do some great work together. Always.
Work.
Yeah. But here's the thing is that he's started to understand more. Malcolm Cluck, for example, even picked up on how
I've changed.
You've changed.
Yes. Yeah.
For the best.
Yeah.
And a little bit of a touch of a sprinkle here and there. A touch of Ford.
I'm a gay speckled muffin.
And that's what you are.
Yeah, right. Okay. Anyway, back to our guest.
Back to our wonderful guest,
Carmen. Stop talking about me.
So you now touring, so you've written out of Isidingo.
Mm-hmm. Like,
you get quite hurt. It reminds me of, remember, I haven't been in the soap opera and never produced one. Mm-hmm. Even though I've had a lot of TV shows where I've produced and we've had to change presenters. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine, I just like write them out, it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. New presenter. But you often see it in Friends with Joey.
Yes.
It's one of the best ways to, if you follow, if you've watched Friends.
His trials and tribulations of being an actor. You know, that is, you cannot be precious about stuff like that. And there's a lovely saying that goes, if they don't know you personally, don't take it personally. So as much as it sort of stings when you realize you're not going to be there carrying on, you've got to realize it's part of the game.
Common,
you know,
who tells you that? Who's the person?
No one. You just kind of realized you're not called really? For the next. No, no,
you've got to tell the truth. I'm dying to know who.
You know who? You know how I found out. So
it isn't as clear as that. No one comes and says, "Carmen, you've been written out." You know, you're right, Nathan. Hey.
Well, here's what I got. I got Nathan. What would you like as a farewell gift?
Really?
And I was like, "What? Like in the show? What? Like no, for your farewell, because next month is your last shoot or whatever." And I was like,
"That's how you were told."
That's how I was told, and I was like, "Oh, that's exciting."
Who told you that? Who's that person?
Give me a book voucher.
Don't give me the name of the person, but who was that?
The production manager.
Okay, production.
I'm glad you got a farewell gift, Nathan.
Didn't you? Well, I think it was because I was leaving the same week as Sherelle left. So they were having a big thing, and she bought her something, and they think they felt bad.
But I think it's. I don't think that it's supposed to be something that's not spoken about. I just think that that person that probably asked you about your farewell gift has found out that you're leaving, and then assumes you know.
Yes, yeah.
And then that's kind of how you find out, because people assume you know.
Is it dingo? The need. ... To know.
Yeah.
But they,
the need to tell your actors when they may not be working.
But I mean you kind of know, you know your block. You know when your storyline's sort of winding down. I mean you kind of gather it is what it is.
You see, but you gotta prep them. Because that's could you imagine in the middle of The Sound of Music saying, "Listen, I don't think Maria, you're not Maria enough. We'll just move you along and then I get you out of it," you know?
Yeah, I mean it can happen. It can happen, well, and it's one of those things.
But it's very seldom that that Hazel or whomever will come and say to you, "Listen,
very seldom."
Sorry.
You also remember that Carmen is multi-talented and does a million different things. So when they were when her storyline ended in Isidingo, she was just like, "Oh, well, I'll just go play the lead in some Broadway musical."
Which is great. But the fact that, I'm just saying that the protocol.
I know, it's one of those things that's...
Because it's rude. I mean, people don't get it, but it's rude. And people have feelings, even actors, even though they pretend. And it's kind of nice to be just for a director or a producer to sit someone down and say, "Listen, you know, the way the storyline's going is that you're written out for the moment."
Yeah, and
you might come back.
I think they did have, they do have conversations about the future of the character, and I mean it isn't something that's basically in my case I can't speak to everybody, but it's just dropped on me. But I think, as in any company, the communication channels aren't always perfect.
Yes, but here's the key. The key is that you must understand something. Your job, what we've just done now, sadly, is kind of trashed Isidingo. Not that you guys...
No.
No, you didn't. But let me just explain to you. Because I watched this, and there all of a sudden this character I fall in love with, like a Sherelle, or like a Tiffany, or like... Who was your character?
Dory, he was basically a nameless bartender.
Yeah. Okay, but here's the thing, is that we see you leave the screens and we kind of, as an audience, sad about it. Because it is sad. Because, you know, you start to resonate with that character. You follow that character.
Yeah.
Nena Nagoli. You know, Charlene Richards. You get what I'm saying. But here's the thing, is that the business has to have some boundaries of respect. And so, could you imagine that all the actors told the truth? I'm not saying that this happened, that you're upset about it, but actors, because it's happened to many.
Yeah, it happens all the time. It's
and you actually know that, gee whiz, they don't know how to just fire the cast of Generations or those people.
Yeah, I mean, that was a whole different kettle of fish. Huge.
Well, then would the audience, knowing that is what happens behind the scenes, would they want to continue watching? Now, I'm not saying they will or they won't. What I do think is that it will create a PR impact on what you do.
I think so.
So just be decent. That's what I'm getting at.
And I mean, I must say, I have a lot of love and respect for Isidingo. I had such an amazing time there, and I would love to go back. And I was, as I said, you know, treated very well, and like I said, it wasn't just dropped on me, but it's not a conversation, I suppose, that that is said in black and white, and perhaps it should be. Well, you can request, to get some feedback on what's happening, but at the end of the day, as I said, it's writing and it's what's happening in the story, what's happening in the world, what people want. They've got all these research teams doing that,
understand.
You know,
we
and
understand.
You have to understand. I think for someone like Barker Haynes, that character, if he had to suddenly just be written out, it would be bombs away and people were like, what?
But the question is, why does Bartha get... No, but why does Barker get given that respect?
Because he's earned it.
Robert Whitehead. No, I don't know so much. You see, respect is respect. That's the lesson. And I think there's a bigger entertainment lesson here.
Also, they're afraid of Barker because they never know if his character is actually a part of him.
I'll give you a small example. We are filming Coaches or Us, which is a series. It's quite a cute series. But we're using a different sportsman in the next series.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing I did was to get hold of the previous sports person to just explain to them, it's nothing to do with you, but we just the way the evolution of this. And he was so appreciative. But could you imagine they just found out that there was a new sports person in that role?
Well, I think it's like what Carmen said. You think you've done something wrong. And I think that just needs to be explained to someone. He's like, you haven't done anything wrong. The story doesn't require you for the meantime, you know. Maybe when we need you, we're going to call you straight back.
And I must say,
that kind of thing.
I think, I don't know if it's an EQ thing for myself. I just sort of understood that. Because I think for me, my journey was I was supposed to be there for one episode and then I was there for a year. So I did feel a sort of a compliment there. So when I did sort of get written out gently and gradually, I didn't feel, oh my gosh, you know, what did I do? Because I was just like, hey, I've been here for a long time.
But what happened? I mean, the day you walk out, listen, you have a makeup section where you do your face. And you're in that certain room with three or four other actors and actresses, depending.
Yes.
So you just, that day, you just say your last lines and you walk out. Does someone say thank you?
Yeah, they do.
Oh, that was nice. Yeah. That's kind. Oh, you got a present because Sherelle was leaving.
Yeah, we had an amazing team.
Michelle
Burtis.
Has left. But I'm not pointing out to, I'm saying you see it in the friends. You see it, you hear about it. I'm just saying, guys, people in the world talk to one another and they go off and they like in any business, just explain things to people.
They worry, they wonder about what happened, yeah. I mean, it happens all over. Hollywood, you know, everywhere.
but you know...
But as my first long-standing stint on a TV series or soap opera, gosh, I can't even tell you how much I learned and how much I was able to like garner from those actors. I mean, I worked with Isaac Darfel, who's a good friend of mine now. We were in the panto together at the same time, and obviously Robert Whitehead, and just you know learning so much from people. And I, as a young actress, TV is an absolute passion of mine. So I was honestly just thrilled to be there.
What do you prefer out of, because I'm obviously you do
so
a lot
different.
Of stage as well. Is it completely different
like,
worlds you can't really apples
yeah,
and pears?
Yeah, it's like apples and pears. And live theatre I think is such a good grounding for any actor. Not that I've done much straight theatre. Musical theatre has been my forte for a while, but it makes you, that live adrenaline on stage, I think everyone says this, it's so, so tangible and exciting. But then on screen, you know, it's a lot more intimate and it's such a different medium. I can't say, I think when people say it's the same thing, I don't think it is at all, yeah.
So talking about stage, you have been now touring The Sound of Music, which is great.
I am embarking
on that tour. Yeah. You've been in
The
Jersey
Road to
Boys,
Pop Star.
You've done... High School Musical, Mamma Mia, of course, the panto.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that. That's such an interesting.
This is my third panto. I've done three pantos now.
Are you in?
No. So I did Cinderella in 2011-ish when I was 21. And I did, I kind of joined the cast of Sleeping Beauty, which was 2 years ago. It was very random. That's where I met my boyfriend. How sweet is that? And then last year I did Robin Hood.
Maid Marian, yes.
It was really fun.
Pantos are fun. Hard work.
Super fun. Hardest work, kids.
We're going to go there in a moment. But Nathan, now you have prepped something here. You know, we like to prep things.
Well, I've worked with Carmen as well, right? She was a mermaid in a great video that just came out the other day.
Yes!
And she, while we were kind of on set of the video, we were chatting and we were talking about Sound of Music, Maria. And I was saying to her, oh, like, I love Julie Andrews. I love Mary mm-hmm. Poppins. I think they should do a Julie Andrews musical called Maria Poppins.
Mm.
And then Carmen and I sang a little song together.
Yes.
And I was wondering if she would remember any of the words. And
oh, my word. I love how you just hoy this.
Welcome to the show. Gosh. This is The Unview, The Thin, The Rich, and The Fabulous. Nathan Rowan, Carmen Pretorius, well, please take it away.
Nathan, I can you...
Blixem.
Blixem.
Your Afrikaans is coming out beautifully.
It's, you know.
All right, so now you can handle the chorus, I'm sure.
Oh, my goodness, I hope so.
For every job that must be done, Carmen, there's an element of fun. You find the fun and
snap! The job's a game.
And every task you undertake becomes a piece of cake. A lark, a spree, it's very clear to see.
A spoonful of sugar makes the medicine. What go round?
Go down.
The medicine, go down.
Just a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down in the most delightful way.
Oh, there's a robin. Because it's spring.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
A robin feathers nest has very little time.
He has the words in front of him. Okay, sir. Ah, oh, there he doesn't.
His bits of twine and twig. And though intent in his pursuit, he has a merry song to toot. He knows a song will get the job along.
Hey, spoonful of sugar.
The medicine go down, medicine go down.
Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down
in the most delightful way.
Hey, do you think it's a great idea?
Well, change of seasons, people are still feeling sick from winter, so my spoonful of medicine go down.
Oh my gosh, hey, this trip down memory lane for me.
But are you good with kids? Because you seem good at Julie Andrews roles, and she was great with kids.
I love kids. I told my mom yesterday that I was broody, and she was not impressed.
And she was like, "Go get some chicken licking this."
She was like, "Mexicant, luister no more." Yeah.
Ding ding without the ring ring.
I'm old. Yeah. I'm old enough. Yeah. No, but I mean, you love kids.
I mean, you are 27.
Exactly. I mean, seriously. Yeah.
You can like, but I mean, so you met your boyfriend at the pantomime.
Yeah, in the panto.
In.
So what happened was, I got back from tour.
Who is he?
Keaton Ditchfield, and he is the son of Paul Ditchfield, who was a muso in the band.
Judy Ditchfield.
And Judy Ditchfield, who was Stella on Issy Dingo.
Who I made out with on Issy Dingo.
Oh just my word! No way.
Just yep.
Yes, so I mean,
they're great. Yeah, they're great. They're Paul, of course, cool. The Bats, incredible.
Super greatly into.
Have you gone to see the
incredibly
Bats?
Incredibly into. Yes.
Are they great?
They are so amazing. And they are.
You actually
all,
must get the Bats in.
No, you must. You must
get
them in.
We must get the Bats. Between Eddie Eckstein.
Oh my gosh, they're amazing.
And Paul, it's a great bunch. A bunch of four are just absolutely
and look,
super.
You know, I wake up in the morning sometimes. I sleep over at Keats and I wake up and...
Does your mother know that, according to the Afrikaans rules?
So be it. I wake up and, you know, I hear the... And they're busy rehearsing in the next room.
Oh,
it's
nice.
So cool. I'm just okay. And then, anyway, so, yeah, so I got back from tour in 2015. I had been on the Sound of Music tour for about a year, playing Maria. And I kind of, you know, I was busy finding my feet again. When you come back from tour, you know, people don't know you're back. And it's like, hello, you know, I'm back. And kind of looking for work. And then... my agent called me up and said, look, someone's got really ill in the panto. And would you consider, you know, stepping in?
With Candida they got ill, I think. Yeah.
Yes.
I remember that.
Shame. Would you consider... Is that what
she got? That's why she needed the spoonful of sugar.
I didn't know that helped with
not
Candida.
Not sugar. No.
She really wasn't well. No, she wasn't
And then what happened was in musical theatre, for those who don't know, if a lead like Candy gets ill, then they have an understudy, which was in this case Mary Ann van Aysen, who stepped into her role. Then someone will step into Mary Ann's role, and that someone was me.
Okay.
And it was like literally, it was like, they had their first preview. And
I know that it's just right there.
They called me
up. We did an interview that week, and then I went to opening night, and there was no candy there.
They called me. They were like, "Hey, listen, can you learn the show in 2 days and then go on?" I was like, "I'll try." You know, challenge. I love a good challenge. And then I stepped in. I was tree number three. It was really exciting. Anyway, long story short, got there. The Joburg Theatre has huge, massive lifts that move up and down. It's the most incredibly state of the art space, and it has like this big trapdoor thing that drops out. And Michelle used to drop down. She played the evil queen character. Anyway, during one of the numbers, the ensemble have to move backwards. And I, obviously being new, I didn't know that that door was going to open. And then Keaton very charmingly, courageously, volunteered to help me. Well, he kind of took me by the hand and guided me past the trapdoor.
Love.
And you know, it's so rare to hear a girl fall in love with a guy in theatre.
It's usually a guy with a guy. And I said I was never going to date an actor, no. But I do, I am.
On that note, Carmen Pretorius, we're going to chat to you some more about some wonderful things that you've done in your life and your career. It's great having you in studio. We're going to sing some more and do some fun things.
Word.
Nathan Rowe, this is The Unview. Of course, the magic of the theatre, the magic of entertainment, of food, and of course, of music. That's what the show's about, as you know, we do every single week.
But are we going to talk about H2O? No. That's what I'm calling it.
What's
that? Great H2O? No.
Please. Splash. Splash. That's what we're going to talk about.
Yes, did you not get my joke?
No.
Because it was a drama with
Splash.
With Splash.
And Splash
is called
H2O.
No. Okay, so here it is. Yes, there was a drama. I got it, but it wasn't really that good. Was it that good?
I didn't go to the opening.
Did you see the audience laughing? Not Splash. I mean, his joke.
You didn't go to the opening of my joke?
Just joke.
I was in Cape Town. My dads were getting married.
Whoa. Did they meet at the theatre?
We'll go there in a moment. Matthew Cook joins us on the line. Matthew, thank you for joining us and welcome to the show. Matthew, Splash the Circus, we said we're going to follow you around the country, but you haven't left Johannesburg as yet.
We are reopening, and first of all, thanks for having me on your show again, Alan. It's super to be with you again, and thanks for keeping to your word of keeping up with us. You know, I think it's a really great opportunity for us to tell you where we're at. Obviously, we've had one or two little challenges with some visas and artists coming into the country. Those we've managed to resolve, and we are back on track. We're still at Silver Star for 10 more days, so until the 17th of September, and then we head off to Durban.
I mean, Matthew, let's call the spade the spade, because I think it's important that people understand that in this industry, things happen, you know, and again, here we are with Carmen Pretorius discussing when Candida got sick in a panto and all of a sudden she had 2 days to now take over one of the lead roles. This happens. Four of your big international acts are stuck in their countries because of visa problems and you have an opening night. And the question is, do you do half the show because 1,000 people are coming, or do you have 3 or 4 hours or 12 hours to phone them and say you can't come? Now, you don't have their telephone numbers. What do you do? That's what happened, I believe. So Matthew...
And that's exactly what happened, you know, and we took into consideration over 500 kids that would be in the audience the following day, and we made a call. We decided that, you know, a lot of the local South African talent came on board and said, "Hey, listen, we understand you're having troubles. Let us help you put on a show and, you know, give it as a teaser of what's to come." You know, we had some internationals that had arrived, so we had some really nice big act for that day. It wasn't the full show. We decided to go ahead. We did the apologies. We've rectified with people. And then we cancelled last weekend just to make sure that we had enough time to resolve the visa issues. And I think that was a good call for us to do. You know, I think that got us the amount of time, made sure that we didn't slip into the same thing, and gave us at least a week to notify those people that the show wouldn't be happening. So now we've rectified, and I hope that we made the decisions that we made, and I think that in the end we came out positive because we communicated it. And I think that communication and transparency is key in these types of issues.
Well,
you know, stuff does happen.
I agree. And well, hello, and well done. I mean, I think I've heard.
You've got to tell the truth. I mean, you've got to say to people, listen, I'm sorry if they're stuck in Asia. They're stuck in another country.
You know?
I've tried everything.
Yeah.
It's
you know, I think the big thing is that, you know, we have had changes of coming into this country as a foreigner, especially for long term. As we mentioned on your show last time, you know, we're planning on touring for just on a year around South Africa. That's a whole different set of visa requirements. Mm-hmm. Being a circus, we've got lots of families that travel. The youngest person who's traveled is just under a year, 28 months. And when you're going to a consulate on the other end of the world, and you now have to provide, you know, unabridged birth certificates in English and all sorts of things.
Sure.
And you're dealing with someone whose language barrier is very difficult. It was something that was we probably should have ensured that it was going to be smoother. But at the end of the day, we did the best that we could.
Matthew, I'm going to throw it out there because I think, let me do this. And it will help you in some respects. This show goes on for a long period of time. And if you did see the show and you felt that that you didn't get what you wanted out of it, Matthew, am I right? You will find when you have opening spaces to give them a seat. Am I right?
We don't even have to find space. We've kept space for people.
Okay.
So we've kept the best seats in the house available for anybody like that. We've been in contact with pretty much everybody
who did
raise their hand.
Awesome.
And we've done the right thing. You know, we our people and the longevity of this show is important to us. You know, it's not something that we just want to kind of, you know, run away from. We want to face it head on and say to people, we were stuck, we were in a situation, we made a call, and we're going to fix it, you know? We're going to make sure that this show prospers.
I had a friend that attended the show, and her kids were so enthralled by it. Apparently, they were just in absolute awe of it the whole time, and that wasn't even the complete show. So I can just imagine.
Yeah.
So I still think it's such an amazing thing for people to take their kids
and
to.
And also, I mean, I had my whole, basically, adopted family and law went, and friends and everything went to opening, and I had a number of friends who were those who stepped in and, you know,
really,
pulled out the stops as performers, and I was in awe of that, and I think congratulations, and also
thank
I think people
you
need
so
to
much
be.
And we cannot wait for you guys to come and see the full show. As I said, now all the artists are in, you know, we've got Olympic gymnasts in the show. And now,
that's
obviously,
exciting.
we can give you more detail on this. We've got a 2-time Olympian in the show, who is incredible. You know, we've got a juggler who juggles not only 5 balls behind his back, but builds up to a complete, like, 8-ball routine, which just blows people's mind, the speed and the skill that these guys have. I mean, I've seen a lot, but some of these acts are blowing my mind every day.
Matthew, congratulations for at least making for rectifying it, for dealing with it, for sorting it out, and ultimately that your customer, your viewer, your spectator, your audience goer, whatever you want to call them, have the opportunity, if they want to see it again, they can. And more importantly, that the South African acts that you used, as people have said here, kept everybody still very proudly enthralled, even though that it wasn't the full show. These things happen.
And I mean, look at the publicity that came from that. I think you've just gone and taken that and turned it into something so positive and spectacular, and that's such a great PR thing for you now. You know, I think the way
that you've turned
it around.
Exactly. I think anything that's communicated as honestly and openly as that, you know, people, I'm sure many people can identify having planned a holiday and not getting a visa, or, you know, waiting for family to come in, or, you know, I think that we've seen enough of it. So it is something that is very tangible for people. And I thank the South African audience for being so kind of forgiving, you know, and saying, listen, we know that this kind of stuff happens.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move through this. We want to come and see the full show. What we saw was great. But we want to see something even greater.
Well, come and see it again and hear the tickets.
And that's what's on stage now. So, you know.
Matthew, tell us the run in Johannesburg. Of course, we're following you still. You are my new little mate. I'm going to come film you because I want to come and see the circus cuckoo things. I love stuff. Crazy stuff. Matthew, tell us when, where, and how.
So Silver Star, we resume performances this evening, Thursday night, 8 p.m. So Thursdays and Fridays.
It's reopened today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. And then Saturday, there are still some tickets for the 11 a.m. and 7 p.m.
Where do
the
people book,
PM
Matthew? Where do they book, Matthew? Where is it? CompuTickets.
CompuTickets.
So
everything
easy.
Through CompuTickets.
So easy. Book it. Come and see it. Matthew, Nathan's prepared something for you. Nathan, for Matthew.
I hope.
I hope it's
to
right.
See if the band's all in tune and all ready.
The band's in tune?
Yay.
Matthew, this is for exactly. you, Matthew. This is the history of the world.
I quoted this on the day, and I stand by it. The show must go on, and it will.
And this is the excitement of live performance, that's right? It. These things happen, and we deal with it.
Splash, the circus. Don't miss it. Thank you, Matthew Cook.
Thank you so much,
Alan. What are we living for? Abandoned places. I guess we know the score. All alone. Does anybody know what we are living for?
Was this your theme when you had to step in? The panto.
Another mindless crime.
Well, I mean,
behind the curtains.
This is the
this
point.
This is what the show is all about today, is behind the curtains.
Show must go on.
It really must.
And here it goes.
You guys want the chorus?
Yes,
here it comes.
Now.
Show must go on. Hey, hey, woo. Show must go on.
Yeah. Inside my heart is breaking. My makeup may be flaking, but my smile.
So our special guest in studio is the one and only Carmen Pretorius. And Carmen, mm-hmm. of course, mm-hmm. Born in Pretoria, grew up in Roodepoort. You're Gautenga Lenga.
Yeah.
Interesting, you just mentioned your dad's got married.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
My dad's have got married. They've been together since I was about 10, so about 17 years.
Awesome.
And they are immigrating to the UK because my dad got a job there. So they sort of just made everything official, and that's that.
And your dad's got married.
They totally got married, and I'm so proud of them.
What was it like growing up? Let's go back.
Yeah.
20 years ago. Being a daughter of two dads.
I think that this is something that is so interesting.
You have a mom.
I have a mom.
Because you mentioned that earlier.
Okay. I popped out in Pretoria.
Yeah, you did pop out in Pretoria. And you're close to your mom and you love her. I know that you're
not
messy.
Yes, yes. I think this is something that a lot of people now are chatting about. You know, the kids that with gay parents that, you know, came out in that time. Yeah. And I actually thought about writing a book about it because I think from my experience, I had both my parents made me understand everything. And I grew up.
What did you understand?
I understood that that for me, in my understanding is that love is love. It's you fall in love with a soul. It's for me, gender is an archaic belief going a girl has to love a boy and vice versa.
It's almost like falling in love with a car instead of the driver.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, it's not for me, there's so much more to a person. Let's take a pie chart, right? Yeah. There's so much more to that pie chart than just one segment. I mean, hello, there's interests, there's looks, there's personality, there's all of this stuff. And then sexuality, yeah, it's a big part of the pie chart, but it's not the only part of the pie chart.
But, if I may, it is interesting that obviously your dad probably was gay and married your mom and things happened and then because do you think about it 30 years ago it was very difficult.
So I was born in 1990 and obviously before that
couldn't be gay. It was against the law, by the way. You would go to jail. Sure. Peter Dirk Ace talks about that.
You can't be,
and especially Afrikaans
community,
you couldn't, so you had to marry and that was the rules and that's what you did. And then all of a sudden, but the bravery, at least not to continue the lie, is something that I've got to take my hat off.
And I think that was incredibly
difficult for your mother. God forbid what she went through. But I'm just saying, at least on his own growth.
Incredibly. And I've got a lot of respect for both my parents
friends?
For that. Yeah, they are on good terms. They were very good friends when I was younger. But now that I've gotten a bit older, they've sort of not had as much communication. But it just naturally happened. I think that it's really important to understand that for me, it's actually great because I haven't ever really spoken about this life, but it's part of life, and I think that it's as beautiful and special and precious as any other relationship.
Carmen, so, have you got siblings?
I've got two sisters. Mm-hmm. My mum remarried, and I had two sisters.
So you're the only child of this particular
of my parents.
Yeah, of your parents. Yeah. Again, incredible to be. It must be, you know, you look at the Ditchfield family that you let's say.
Yes,
or
in inverted
commas, marrying into. Or
Hopefully.
They would understand that because I think that the theatre entertainment world is more open to gay relationships.
Yes.
It's different. But it must have been interesting going to school at 12 years old and saying, I'm going with my dad and
yes.
my dad. Yes.
I mean, look, for me, it was very organic. I never really had trouble explaining. It was weird. I actually think back now and I go, yo, I had a lot of understanding people around me. I think they probably went home and went, you know, Carmen has two dads. What does that mean? But if I was a beacon of light and understanding for any of my friends and peers, if they went home and questioned that to their parents and their folks or whatever, then I feel like I've done my job. I feel like it's important to talk about it. And also having grown up with love and understanding and empathy and just
a family
that was important to me. What does it matter? You know what's. Mm.
What does it matter? But it's a message to any child or any person that has got a parent that has come out that is gay and they did. What advice? What did you learn from it? I think it's not necessarily the advice. What did you learn from it?
I learned that. Let me just have. I've always thought about what I would say if I was asked that question.
I think you already said it so beautifully when you said you had love.
Yeah,
you know,
it's for me, as I said, it's a pie chart. It's really not about the gender of the person. And also, I've asked before, was it a choice? Because a lot of people want to say, oh, it's a choice. You know, why would you? So I was told, why would I make that choice? Why would I choose a road that's been historically a difficult one, you know? Mm. So I think we need to start waking up and going, these things are not as simple as
definitely not.
You don't choose who you fall in love with. Have we ever chosen who we fall in love with? Look, no. I've fallen in love with an actor, and I've decided, you know, before that I was like, I'm not going to fall in love with an actor. You don't choose these things, let's be honest.
I think that's such an important lesson as well for heterosexual relationships as well, because, you know,
exactly.
Because guys think, oh, I can love a girl, but I must like make my guy friend feel dumb because we're guys, and I can't let him think that I love him.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
And I think, like, we just need to love everyone a bit
and
more.
I think love is an. I think that's what I want to say. Is just let's look at what it's about. Let's look at the love. Let's look at the relationship and the quality of that relationship. Mm. What my dads have shown me in terms of quality of what I want in a relationship one day is incredibly valuable. They have an incredibly respectful and wholesome relationship, and that's what I've learned from them. Let's take the things that matter from these relationships. Let's discount these silly, you know, details. I think that's what I want to say to my kids is a good example, and that's what they did for me, and my mom did.
I knew dads that had a child, and I remember they were going through quite a thing where people obviously saying how can you become a parent, because they adopted a little boy and they were the best parents I've ever met today.
Well,
and it is an eye-opener, because people would rather have them be in a miserable heterosexual home.
But as a gay man, let me say the following, is that we have to take it far more seriously because of the stigma and the responsibility and what people are going to think. So therefore, you have to up the game.
And you have to make that choice very
consciously. Because it's not a natural thing,
necessarily.
Do you understand what
I'm saying? You can't just have a baby by accident, which happens a lot. And then what happens to those kids?
Yeah, and then all this. So when you're having a surrogate, or you're adopting a child, or you acknowledging that you're two parents with a daughter,
who's
10, and it's definitely a more conscientious.
Yeah, you think about it a lot more, I'm sure.
Yeah.
On that note, Carmen Pretorius is our very special guest in
yet.
Studio. Sure, that opened up something interesting. She's
went to school with Oscar. How weird is that?
Sure.
Anyway,
did you?
Speaking about Pretorius,
you went to school?
Primary school.
Really, eh?
Mm.
Interesting.
Yeah, good times, name drop.
He's such I really like the guy. I mean, I'm sorry that what he did happened. But
I have compassion for him.
Yeah, she's
and
he's
for
a very, very nice person.
Whatever.
Let's not go there.
For everyone.
On that note, something interesting happening in Johannesburg this weekend. It's the fourth time it's actually happening. It's called the Street Food Festival. And on the line, we have got Hannah Riefisser, the founder of Studio H and the Street Food Festival, and she's the director. Welcome. How are you doing, Hannah?
Hello, good morning. I'm doing well, thank you. You guys?
Good, it's been excellent, thank you. So excited to see that we're taking the inner city and doing some beautiful revival and fun things. What is the Street Food Festival?
Well, the Vita Street Food Festival, as you said, is coming to Mabinink for the first time this year. And it's just a really cool, relaxed day of people eating as much street food as they can. And then we've got some live music and all kinds of other entertainment happening. So, yeah.
And of course, the street food ideas, I mean, I'm just looking at some of the interesting things. You've got like the Rogue Cheddar, which is all interesting, food trucks. And you've got the Knickerbocker Ice Cream Company. And these are just the Toro Loco, which is basically big and bold flavors of Spanish paellas, big paellas and stuff. It sounds really cool. And of course, we've got some of the local foods like you do Cape Malay cuisine. But it's eating off the streets. That's basically it. And it's obviously providing a platform, number one, and an income for local chefs and cooks and food makers.
That's all that it's about. It's about celebrating what we call the humblest of cuisine, street food, and just really super tasty, simple food, and giving people a platform. Because if you look at all the food events that's around, there's not much celebrating simple food, you know? So, and something I'm super excited about today, there's a project called My Kitchen, where there was a Kickstarter campaign to get money for three African food traders to get their own food trucks, and they're actually trading for the first time on Sunday. So I really want people to come out and support them and look out for the fantastic Kitchen on call.
Well, we love it. It sounds great, and I'm happy that you're doing it. Firstly, Joburg needs some interesting festivals and things to do. Seriously, because Cape Town has loads
of them.
The only thing Joburg's actually known for these days is food, so I think we need more of these.
Yeah, more of the stuff, which is great. It happens this Sunday, the 10th of September. What a great day to take the family out into the streets of Joburg. And it's happening in Maboneng. Thank you for joining us. Is there anything else that we can do to help you? You don't have to buy a ticket. You just arrive. Is that right?
You can buy tickets before on web tickets.
Okay.
And you can also look for more detail on our website at streetfoodfestival.co.za. But yeah, just go to web tickets, buy tickets. Or if you can't, then you just buy tickets at the gate. And the other great thing is we completely cashless. You don't even have to stop at the ATM on your way there.
Lovely. We love it. Sounds very good. Thank you for joining us. Hanari Visser, the curator and founder of the Street Food Festival in Mabuneng. It's happening this week, Sunday. I just want to do this very quickly while we're talking about, I mentioned Cape Town for a second. The water crisis has not stopped. I set my timer for 3 minutes. I believe now it's going on to 2 minutes to have a shower. No more bathing, no more bathing. They are removing plugs.
But you know what? Astounded me. I was working there on a musical called Tiger Bay in about April, May, June, and what I was doing was I put a little Tupperware key in my basin in my dressing room, and I would gather the water that I was using and rewash my hands in that water, blah blah blah, and then I would go outside after the show, and I would feed the plants and whatever, do something with the grey water. And a lot of people were like, "What are you doing?" I was like, are you not saving water?
I have a bucket in my...
Why?
So there's a plug in the shower. There's a bucket over it catching the water. I believe I've got to do 2 minutes now, but I usually do 3 minutes. And I've got that timer going. So the alarm, I set my alarm. As I turn it on, and shower quickly. Yeah. You know, I think I've always got a little bit more to
put on a song, a two-minute song. That you have to be done by the end of it.
That's exactly what you've got to do. So please, guys, Cape Town has got a crisis. Save water and be clever about it. Grey water is important because you can use that water in the bucket. All that, you can put it in the plant. Seriously.
To make tea for your guests you don't like.
It hasn't. We're in September. It hasn't rained this season. So the dam should be at 40%. We're not there. On that note, Carmen, what can we expect you? What's up next?
I'm embarking on a great, exciting tour of The Sound of Music. I'm leaving on Saturday. We go to Manila and Singapore and other places that are yet to be confirmed but exciting, and they are all in the East, I think, at this point. In the second quarter of next year, we are in South Africa doing The Sound of Music. I will be playing Maria von Trapp, which is really exciting. Maria Reiner, as she was called before she fell in love with the captain. And that will be happening in Cape Town and in Joburg, but those details are to follow. So keep your ears open.
Now, the what is your favorite song in The Sound of Music? Because there's a lot. There's Doa Deer. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's The Hills Are Alive. Mm-hmm. There's
Edelweiss.
Edelweiss. There's
My Favorite Things.
Yeah. The list goes on.
I love Confidence. I have confidence in confidence alone. I love that song.
Awesome.
It's probably one of the most challenging songs in the musical to do for Maria, because she like has to walk okay. around with stuff. And
so, stand up, please, Carmen. Stand up.
Okay.
Stand
yeah. Up. I'm standing.
Get that up. Mic. Get that mic close to your mouth, because the sun is shining.
Oh my goodness.
Okay.
Yeah.
The hills around this beautiful country, you know, that I can are alive. Okay. And of course, they have to be with The Sound of Music.
Yes.
Because that would be appropriate. And so, ladies and gentlemen, are we doing it a cappella? Is that okay?
Well, we can give her a really bad karaoke.
You're
going
to have to sing with me, because I'm going to get into trouble for singing this stuff. You do realize that.
Okay, I'll do a rap.
No, don't rap. Let's see the karaoke version.
You can do a rap.
Let's see the karaoke version. And it's Carmen Pretorius performing the one and only, from The Sound of Music, The Hills Are Alive.
No, I have confidence.
No, but we said we would.
Okay, so this is not me performing it.
No, this is me, and I'm going to use my falsetto. What will my future be?
Nice, you have the words. I wonder.
I wonder also. I've never sung this song.
A captain with seven.
No, it could be so exciting to be out in the world, to be free.
Yes, carry
okay.
on.
I am so over the song. I don't know about confidence.
The only reason I'm not singing is because I am not allowed to yet.
But you know. Can sing, just for me, I don't know why, but you can sing the sound. Just the hills are alive.
Okay, I'll do it just for you.
Just do the sound of mucus.
No, this is not. This is, we really want to hear real serious stuff. It's a beautiful day. Carmen Pretorius.
Yes, here we go
give
again.
Us
one, two, three.
Action.
The hills are alive with the sound of music.
With.
He wants me to sing more. Yeah. Oh, my word.
She's not allowed with to. There's a 30-second limit.
4,000 years.
La, 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 la.
And that is me giving 10%, guys.
Okay. Nice. Oh, we'll wait till next year.
Yes, wait till next year.
Thank you for joining us. It's been wonderful having you in studio.
Thank you.
Divine. Thank you for showing us
your so
dads
fun.
And all the stuff. This has been really, really
cool.
You
guys
cool.
are awesome.
Splash, the circus opens for a second time with a full cast.
Tonight.
It happens tonight. And of course, don't forget the Street Food Festival. Nathaniel's on. Don't miss his show. Lots of things happening in Cape Town. Also, The Wizard of Oz is happening there. Get a hold of your local papers, support local theatre.
Entertainment theatre, yeah.
Across the board. It's absolutely wonderful. Be well. What are your plans?
My plans? I have no plans.
We're going away together.
Yes,
you and
we are.
Again.
Hercules. Yeah, Hercules.
I'm Hercules. Yay. I'm going to breakfast.
This has been a great show. Thank you for joining us.
Adieu.
My name is Alan Ford with the one and only Nathan Rowe.
Good night.
And this
morning.
Is The Unview, the thin, the rich, and the fabulous. Have a fantastic day.
The Unview, the thin, the rich, and the fabulous on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.